Hello and welcome to The Radioactive Show, produced in the studios of 3CR Melbourne on Wurundjeri land and broadcast nationally on the Community Radio Network.
Joined now by Dr. Jim Green from Friends of the Earth. Good morning, Dr. Green. Jim, we're just there's a bit of confusion out there, and I'm a little bit confused myself about Australia becoming the world's nuclear waste dump. There's a few proposals and a few things floating around. Do you mind, for our listeners who may not be aware, just clearing some of those up for us and what's happening?
Yeah, there are two processes going on in parallel, and both are focused on South Australia, and they're quite separate. One is a plan for a national nuclear waste dump, so that's being driven by the federal government, and they tried under the Howard government to build it in South Australia but were defeated, and then they tried in the Northern Territory but were defeated, and so now they're back to South Australia, and that plan is for a national nuclear waste dump in the Flinders Ranges, on the land of the Adnamutna traditional owners, who were extremely unhappy about it and who were campaigning very hard to stop it happening. And then there's a separate process which is led by the South Australian Labor government, and that's driven by the state's economic problems, and they're looking at the option of turning South Australia into the world's high-level nuclear waste dump. So they would be importing 138,000 tonnes of high-level nuclear waste as a commercial venture. And they haven't yet specified any sites in South Australia that might be used for the waste dump or for the port that would bring the waste in. But so, yeah, no, they're very keen on that idea, and they're unfolding a so-called consultation exercise, which is really a propaganda exercise, and that one will unfold for some years.
So I'm guessing there'll be some pretty heavy consultation with the Indigenous owners of the land and with the local communities?
That's right. It's I think a lot of that sort of stuff is happening behind the scenes at the moment. So it's really hard to get a gauge on what's going on. But what we do know from submissions to the Royal Commission that the South Australian government set up was that there's overwhelming opposition from Aboriginal people to this plan to turn the state into a high-level nuclear waste dump. And that opposition is born from painful experience going way back to the British nuclear bomb tests at Maralinga and Emu Field in South Australia, to the four botched cleanups of the Maralinga nuclear test site, and a whole lot of unhappy experiences with uranium mining in South Australia affecting Aboriginal traditional owners, and also the attempt to impose a nuclear waste dump on Aboriginal land under the Howard government. So there's a legacy of mistrust and a legacy of racism and deceit that forms a backdrop to this current debate. And so it's not surprising that there's overwhelming Aboriginal opposition to this plan for a high-level nuclear waste dump, as well as organised Aboriginal opposition to stop it happening.
And what do you think? Do you think that this is something that's going to go ahead? Like you mentioned earlier, that we're being told there's an economic crisis, and you know, many South Australian governments and opposition leaders talk about an economic crisis. Do you think this is inevitable, that they're going to do this just for the money-making?
Well, no, it's by no means inevitable. It's really hard to assess whether it's likely or not to go ahead. I mean, it might get defeated on the economics alone because, you know, the South Australian government would have to invest somewhere between $300 and $600 million in upfront costs before they received any revenue. So it's a big gamble. And, I mean, those upfront costs could easily be far greater. We've heard figures of $2.4 billion in upfront costs. So it's a spectacular gamble with very uncertain revenues. So, I mean, the economics alone might stop it. And, of course, public opposition in general and Aboriginal opposition in particular might also have a significant sway. But what's disturbing in South Australia is that there's no real balance to the propaganda. I mean, traditional owners and environment groups and others are certainly voicing strong criticisms, as are some professional economists. But there's really a bubble of propaganda involving both of the major parties, and really importantly, it also involves the Murdoch tabloid, which is dominant in South Australia, which is the Adelaide Advertiser. So you just get this reinforcing bubble of propaganda and no real dissent. And we can compare that to other situations. Say, in the United States, there was a very long-running battle over a plan for a nuclear waste dump in Nevada. But you had the Nevada state government opposed to it, so that provided some balance. And, you know, they raised 218 technical objections in one of their reports. I'm sure that many of those objections were minor, but some of them were significant. But that balance just isn't happening in South Australia. It's just a reinforcing bubble of propaganda, as I say.
Yeah, money-making implements on the back of the myth that the land is empty and open for use for this kind of toxic thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
So speaking of, you know, there are economic and energy needs. Why is there not a push for greater renewable, you know, research and building in South Australia? And is this a global phenomenon?
Well, South Australia is leading the charge in Australia for renewables, which is great, in particular with wind and to a lesser extent with solar, and in particular rooftop solar. It hasn't been completely plain sailing, and in particular a whole range of factors have come into play to boost electricity prices in South Australia, such as problems with the interconnect with Victoria and spikes with the gas price and various other factors. But all of those price increases are being blamed on renewables by the Murdoch press and by various vested interests in the energy industry. But, you know, it certainly is possible to go a whole lot further with renewables in South Australia and in Australia generally. But if we look at the broader picture, there's some really interesting stuff happening globally, which is that renewables are absolutely going through the roof. There's been a doubling of renewable energy generation around the world in the past 10 years, whereas nuclear has been completely stagnant. So if we go back a decade, nuclear and renewables were generating roughly the same amount of electricity, but now renewables generate more than twice as much, and that gap is growing every day. So the current figures are that renewables account for 23.7% of global electricity generation, whereas nuclear accounts for just 10.7%. And a big driver there is, of course, the economics, and the cost of renewables has come down really sharply, in particular for solar and also for wind. But nuclear is going in the other direction. Nuclear is subject to what they call a negative learning effect. It's becoming more expensive as time goes on because of more stringent safety requirements and various other factors. And so it's getting to a point where it's quite ridiculous. Now, the UK is considering investing in a nuclear plant, which would involve reactors that cost around about 20 to 24 billion Australian dollars just for one reactor. So when you get figures like that, then it's a real no-brainer to go down the renewable energy path. And that message seems to be sinking into the British government, which has balked at this plan for a new power station at Hinkley Point, and they well might invest in renewables instead.
Do you have any, just you're talking about the decline of nuclear there, do you have any figures just off the top of your head about, you know, roughly how much nuclear waste there is in the world now? And hopefully we see that the tapering off and eventually the end of nuclear power. Do you have any figures about how much nuclear waste is in the world and where that might go to and why the South Australian government might be looking to profiteer from this?
Yeah, there's for the high-level nuclear waste, you're talking about spent fuel which has not been reprocessed, as well as spent fuel that has been reprocessed. But overall, there's roughly 300,000 tonnes of spent nuclear fuel in both of those categories. So South Australia is looking at taking a third of that. But there's also vastly greater volumes of intermediate and low-level waste. So South Australia is considering importing 138,000 tonnes of high-level waste plus 390,000 cubic metres of intermediate-level waste.
Wow.
So those are the broad numbers, and even greater volumes of low-level waste. I mean, in South Australia, they've got the Olympic Dam uranium mine, and that produces 10 million tonnes of low-level radioactive tailings waste every year, so they're up to about 160 million tonnes of that tailing waste, which just sits above the ground and is subject to all sorts of environmental and public health problems there as well. But yeah, with the high level waste, no country has established a dump to dispose of this waste. There's
so where is
Sweden
it now?
And Finland. It's in various conditions. Some of it's in wet storage, which means underwater storage, because it generates a huge amount of heat when it's first discharged from the reactors, so it has to stay underwater. And then dry storage, often, usually at the reactor plants themselves, but there's some consolidated interim above ground stores for spent nuclear fuel as well. And I mentioned reprocessing, so there's some commercial reprocessing going on around the world, in particular in France and the UK, but the UK is stepping away from that, which could leave France as the only major international commercial reprocessor.
So it's in. It sounds like the nuclear industry is a dire state, and there's a real problem here for the world to deal with this. You know, the amount of waste that we've got, and feels like there's no real long-term solution. Given that, and I just want to know a little bit about the state of the nuclear industry lobby in Australia. Is it strong? Is there a big voice, you know, pushing for nuclear power, et cetera, in Australia or around the world?
Yeah, around the world there certainly is. In Australia, it tends to go up and down quite a bit. 10 years ago, there certainly was a significant lobby, and that's when the Howard government established the Switkowski Inquiry. But then the Howard government got nervous in the lead-up to the 2007 federal election and went very cool on the idea of nuclear power, if only because of the electoral consequences. And the Labor government certainly wasn't running on a pro-nuclear power platform. At the moment, you know, there is a nuclear power lobby in Australia, but it's not significant, and there's no serious likelihood of nuclear power in Australia for the foreseeable future. So a lot of the debate turns on these nuclear waste dump proposals, and that's where the lobbying is being directed.
Yeah, and given those economic crises, I guess there's always going to be the myth that the land is empty and we can just use this to profiteer off. Are you hopeful that we'll be able to resist these nuclear waste dumps being built on Indigenous land? What are your own feelings and hopes for this, or are you feeling a little bit overwhelmed?
Well, both of those things, I think, apply. You know, it's a real challenge for the plan for a national nuclear waste dump on Adnamutna land in the Flinders Ranges in South Australia. I'm very confident that will be defeated. But then it's just Groundhog Day. Then the federal government will come back with other sites, and most likely that will be on Aboriginal land, and there'll be attempts yet again to impose nuclear waste dumps on Aboriginal land despite opposition from traditional owners. With the international high-level waste dump, you know, that's a really difficult one because it's going to go on for some years. There's just no way we can short-circuit that debate. And one of the things I'm worried about is that the South Australian government will have invested so much political capital into that project that even when it becomes clear that it's not a good bet, either on economic or environmental or public health grounds, that they will have invested so much political capital that they'll feel compelled to go ahead with it despite the obvious problems.
Wow. Yeah, that's pretty scary, isn't it, when your government's acting like a kind of dysfunctional person who needs to go ahead with a bad plan anyway just because their ego staked on it.
Yeah.
All right, Dr. Jim Green from Friends of the Earth, thank you so much for joining us today on the Radioactive Show. It's been great just to get a wrap-up of the picture of the nuclear industry and waste industry around the world and where we're up to.
No worries, Greg. Thanks for that.
No worries. Thanks. Dr. Jim Green there from Friends of the Earth here on the Radioactive Show 3CR, broadcast across Australia on the Community Radio Network. You've been listening to Radioactive Show on 3CR and broadcast around Australia on the Community Radio Network, recorded at the studios of 3CR Melbourne on Wurundjeri Land. Big thanks to Dr. Jim Green from Friends of the Earth. You can contact us by emailing radioactiveshow.3cr@gmail.com, and you can download our podcast from 3cr.org.au.